lurking in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of season 5 of Epic Bruce Media Podcast. This is our official spooky season episode. I'm really excited because I love Halloween. I'm sure I'm not the only one that loves Halloween on the podcast.
It's the best.
It is the best. Anyway, I am Claudius and I have
Chris.
And our official third host of the podcast, drum roll. Amy!
Yay!
No, thank you, Amy. I really appreciate you wanting to be a part of the show. It's going to be a really fun ride, and we'll have so many cool topics to talk about.
Woohoo! Well, I'm so grateful you guys gave me the opportunity to be on.
Yeah, no, of course. Okay, so this episode is our spooky season top 3, and pretty much we're going to be picking our favorite 3 songs of the Halloween season. As promised, we're gonna have some really cool picks. I kind of know what they are already, and I'm really excited to share with all of you listeners, and we'll be right back.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Yo, it's Greg Sipes here, Beast Boy, and when I'm not hanging in the Titans Tower, I'm right here on Epic Briefs Podcast. It's so good. If it was a burrito, I'd eat it twice, yo. Be sure to tune in for something epic.
So I'm going to kick it off first. And just so you guys know, I'm going to share my first memory of each song and why it makes the top 3. And if I listen to it outside of spooky season. So first is Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Jam and has such a cool vibe, and the chorus is just really fun. And if you guys haven't heard the song yet, he pretty much talks about him encountering a werewolf in London
trying to eat Chinese food.
Yeah, the werewolf is like,
as they do.
Yeah, as they do. Yeah, so the song is about, you know, his like interpretation of the werewolves he's encountered, and I'm sure there's probably a deeper meaning to this, but you know, I just take it as like surface level. The werewolf has like really cool clothes, really awesome hair. He loves Chinese food. He ate an old lady. Like,
unless it was an old Chinese lady, then it's not Chinese food.
And the lyrics goes, "The little old lady got mutilated late last night." You gotta love that alliteration. It's amazing.
And he sings it so casually too. It's
like a psychopath.
Yeah, he has another song that I like. I was going to make it part of the list, but I'm not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Werewolves of London. Anyway.
Was it Vampires of Chicago?
My first memory of this song is hearing it like on the radio. And at first, I thought it was like a silly song, and I just loved it because it like made me laugh, and I thought it was kind of stupid. But afterwards, like, it's like an earworm. Like, you hear it, and it's like, you want to go, Werewolves of London randomly. So yeah, radio is what helped me to opened my world to this song. If you guys haven't heard the song, please check it out. It makes my top three because it's very on the nose for Halloween, but I love the way he delivers the lyrics, the way he like he says certain words, and like I pointed out, the alliteration. He just adds his like own flavor and style to the song, which is kind of cool. And I wanted to go to London all my life. So you know, that's still on the plan to do, because my dad used to work out of England a lot. So I'm gonna look for some werewolves and see if I can go eat some beef chow mein with them.
Yeah, definitely. You have to look in all the Chinese restaurants.
See, Amy knows what's up. And I do listen to it other than Spooky Season because it's like, it is a Halloween song kind of, and about werewolves, but I feel like you can jam out to this song. It's not like exclusively like a Halloween song. What do you guys think? What do you think? You think it's a Halloween song for sure? Just Halloween song?
I would definitely listen to it all year round too. Even though werewolves are sometimes exclusive to Halloween, I don't think they should be. I think it should be werewolf time all the time.
Oh, there's some ghosts right now.
Ghost dogs of hell.
The werewolves of Powder Springs, Georgia.
Yeah.
They're not eating any beef chow mein.
But they're looking for it.
They get Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Amy. Thank you very much. They get good food here.
This is how it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay. But second song is On Our Own by Bobby Brown from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. While the lyrics aren't exactly like talking about creatures and creepy stuff, it is from a popular like movie that's about, you know, haunting ghosts. My first memory of this song is when we lived in New York and I watched the Ghostbusters movie in New York, which is like an experience because, come on man, city vibes, Ghostbusters, and Bobby Brown was cool. This song is kind of like has like a special memory for me because I remember being like a little kid and being around my family and just kind of like taking in the vastness of the city. Being like a kid in a huge city, it feels still like otherworldly. It kind of feels like a dream now that I think of it, you know. It's like kind of a weird vibe, but I feel like it makes my top three because I love Ghostbusters and this was such a vibe back in the 90s. And the song is very like motivational in a weird way because pretty much saying that like, you kind of have to push forward and there comes a time in life where you want to be like more in life and you have to like reach for that. You can vibe out this one all year, I think. So yes, I do listen to this one when it's not spooky season. But yeah, so that's why this one made my top three. And my last one. You guys ever had a time in your life where you needed an album but you didn't realize it would make such an impact in your life? Like you're looking forward to an album that was coming out but like you didn't know it was going to be such like a timestamp in your life. So this one is from you have, okay, which is awesome. Chris, have you?
I don't think I have.
No, okay.
Music doesn't touch me the way it touches everyone else apparently.
Oh, that's kind of inappropriate, Chris. Thanks.
Really?
No, but this one is The Cool from Lupe Fiasco's Food and Liquor, which is a really good album.
Turn me up. Yeah. came back in the same suit that he was buried in, similar to the one his grandfather was married in. Yes, he was still fresh to death, blamed two ear rings, a chain laying on his chest. He still had it cause they couldn't find it, and the bullets from his enemy sat like 2 inches behind it. Smelled the Hennessy from when his niggas got reminded and poured out liquor in his memory. He didn't mind it, but he couldn't sip it fast enough, so the liquor was just filling the casket up. Floating down by his feet was the letter from his sister. Second grade handwriting simply read, I miss ya. Suit jacket pocket held his baby daughter's picture. Right next to it, one of his men stuck a swisher. He had a notion as he laid there soaking. He saw that the latch was broken. He kicked his casket open and he, this life goes passing you by. It might go fast if you lie. You born, you live, then you die. Oh, 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 oh. If life goes passing you by, don't cry. If you're breaking the rules, making your moves, yeah, paying your dues.
Uh-huh.
Chasing the cool. Not at all nervous as he dug to the
cool pretty much goes through this guy's second life after he was buried, after being shot in the head pretty much, and it goes through him coming back out of the grave and gives really, really great descriptions of like what he has to do to get out of the grave, like how he digs himself up and he finds this letter from his 2-year-old sister that says I miss you, and just the things that he goes through trying to get back to where he was. But the cool is described as like this cycle of negativity that people go through. You live your life and then you go through the cycle of that, maybe breaking the rules and learning from them and doing better, or just keep doing the same stupid shit and you end up in a not so good place, right? Or like this guy, he ends up in a grave. So at the end of this song, he goes to the same spot that he gets killed, and it happens again, even as a dead person. So it's like he's just stuck in this cycle of doing the same thing over and over again. So, which is really sad when you think about it. It's pretty horrific. It's like a horror story on its own, you know? But yeah, but he just describes him coming back like in zombie mode pretty much and reliving the same thing again. The album is really good. First memory was hearing it on the album, because I like to listen to albums like the first track to the last track.
You never buy a new and skip an album and just hit on random?
No.
Put it on shuffle.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm all about shuffle. Let the real music speak to you.
Well, I'm about shuffle when you get used to like the sequence, right? Because they're telling a little story. Yeah, I think like sequencing of songs on an album is really important. You can have some really good songs, but you put them out of sequence and it just doesn't hit as well as it should. But yeah, I think it's very well written. Story is very deep and told very well. And he's one of my favorite artists. And I do listen to this one when it's not spooky season. So we have Werewolves of London, On Our Own, and The Cool. That's my 3 picks for spooky season. You can listen to all these on Spotify or Apple. Or you can be cheap and just go listen to it on YouTube if you want.
Or watch the movie and then you can hear it.
Watch the movie. Wait till the credits roll. Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna kick it to Amy for her top 3 picks.
The first one is In the Hall of the Mountain King by Edvard Grieg. This one is kind of a famous like orchestra composition that's been featured in a lot of movies and trailers, and other songs have samples, some of the audio in it. One weekend when I was staying at my dad's house, my parents are divorced. Okay. I was fairly young. I believe I was in first grade. I was staying at my dad's and it was around Halloween time. And he randomly made me like 3 CD, like mixtape type things. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Amy's Tunes, Amy's Spooky Tunes, and Amy's Dance Tunes.
Oh, nice. Which,
those are very nice names.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I particularly loved the Amy's Spooky Tunes. And In the Hall of the Mountain King was the first song. So after my dad had burned the CD, he put it in for us to listen to all of the songs. Mm-hmm. And it was actually the first and the last song like the original version was the first song, and the last song was this interesting like synth version that sounded extra ghostly. That was just like a fun thing for me. And then to have like the CDs after I would be away from my dad, I could go back and listen and remember the fun time we had. And I only listen to the song around Halloween time because that's when I break out the old CD and listen to it. But I mean, it's a cool jam. I think I'm trying to remember the story about it. I think the composer, Edvard, he had a dream that he was in love with like this mythical mountain king's daughter. And he went to like try to go ask for her hand, and he was scared. And then the king was very outraged. And so his dream was him being chased by this terrifying, monstrous king. And he's running through like the halls of the mountain, and it's like a maze. And you can really hear that in the music too. Like it feels like you're kind of running from something, but something's getting closer to you the more you go. Mm-hmm. And if I had to choose dance moves to go to this song.
Oh, maybe I should preface this. I'm sorry. I added an extra question for Chris and Amy to add a little bit of, like, I don't know, variety. So Amy's question was, if you had to choose a dance to go with each song, which moves would she choose? So, okay, Amy, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was wondering if I could ask, or if I was supposed to ask you about that for a segue. But anyway, this is tough. I vividly remember jumping on the trampoline and listening to this in like a portable CD player, like Walkman. And I would like zigzag across the trampoline, but always at the end when the music like really picks up, I pictured myself doing a kick line, but like with a bunch of ghosts or something.
That's so cool.
I feel like in the vein of that, I would probably do like a kick line, even if it was by myself. I think it's the most appropriate dance move, quite frankly, for the song anyway.
Yeah, now that you say that, I can see that being appropriate for that song.
Yeah, especially like when it all picks up at the end and it's like intense. It's just,
yeah,
I feel like there's no other choice.
Heck yeah, I like it.
But yeah, so that's my first song. My next one is Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. Another song that was featured on my Amy's Spooky Tunes album. And that time with my dad was also the first time I heard it. And I remember hearing like, oh, just the beat and the music. Like it was so, I don't know, it filled me with the spooks, you know? Yeah. And then the chorus hits and you hear Michael Jackson, it just like seals it in, you know? Yeah, like, for sure. Oh yeah, that's the jam. I feel like the song speaks for itself. It's really great. I would listen to it all year round, quite frankly. It's one of those things where it's like, it's not necessarily like on a frequent playlist, but all of a sudden, like you think of it and you just have to go listen to it, like maybe a few times.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, so.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did the robot voice like spooky about the who's watching that one?
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good pick. I like that. I love the chorus too, so I have to agree with you 100%.
I know the chorus, it's amazing. So I think Rockwell and Michael Jackson were like childhood friends or something.
Oh.
And Rockwell wanted to make a really awesome song, and his dad was like the head of like a record label or something, and his dad wasn't interested in any of Rockwell's music. So Rockwell took it to Michael Jackson and was like, hey, what do you think of this song? And Michael like loved it.
Yeah.
Rockwell asked if he wanted to sing backup and was like, yeah. And so they did the song and submitted it anonymously under the name Rockwell, and it ended up getting like produced and is a popular song today. So that's anyway.
And that shows you, like, the little story shows you, like, how much of a dick his dad was. But Michael Jackson had, like, an open mind when it comes to music. Like, he's like, yeah, I love that. Let's do a collaboration, you know? It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, give it a chance, man. You gotta, like, chase your dream, you know? Yeah. Or at least, like, try.
Exactly. I completely agree. That's such a cool story. Thank you for that. I didn't know that. Seriously, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. Cool. Stop anyway.
Wow. She's like, if that's not how it went down, that's how it should have went
down. People are going to come at me like, that's not even what happened.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
It's like, you know what? It would have been cool if it did.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice story either way. So.
It's what the Wikipedia said. Yeah. So if it's not right, blame user 4829MJ.
And then Amy goes and fills in the Wikipedia tonight and tells her story.
Like last edited, Amy Marchand.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're going to do it now, because
Amy Garcia.
It's going to come out a little bit.
I'm jumping on there right now as we speak. And
Okay.
Yeah. So mine, the keyboard in the background, if you hear that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just ambient noise. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so if I had to do a dance move to that, geez, that's tough.
You can do a Michael Jackson move.
I know. I'm like just thinking about all the Michael Jackson moves, and I feel like I'd have to do all of them.
Wow. That's amazing.
I'm a really big fan of Just Dance. Like, okay, yeah. I play Just every day. Sorry, this is like a tangent.
It's fine.
But I grew up playing the Michael Jackson version of Just Dance.
Yeah.
So, like, all of the moves that are in the songs in the game, I feel like would fit perfectly in a dance of Who's Watching Me. So
I can see that for sure.
Yeah. Definitely some moonwalking and...
Dude, heck yeah. And
bouncing on toes, you know?
I love that. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, for sure.
All right. And then my last song is Season of the Witch, the Lana Del Rey version. That came out not too long ago.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. They're strange, so strange. It's very strange to me. You got to pick up every stage. You got to pick up every stage. You got to pick up every stage. Oh no.
And I first heard this song when I saw the movie Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I believe it was featured in the credits.
Okay.
But anyway, I like loved it. I'm a big Lana Del Rey fan, first off. And then, I mean, I love scary things. And so as soon as like the song started and it sounds kind of like almost ghostly, like it makes me picture like, a chilly autumn breeze almost, and like maybe a fog. I have a synthesis synesthesia. I think that's how you say it. So it's like when I hear music, I can sometimes see colors.
Whoa, really? That's so cool.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, but like that song definitely like brings that out when I listen to it. It's just such a vibe. So as soon as like September hit, like I listen to that every day. And then maybe sometimes like throughout the year, if I'm like in a spooky mood, I'll listen to it. But I feel like it's very exclusively spooky season to me.
That, I like that you have one that's exclusively spooky season. That's good.
Yeah, it just makes it more special, I feel like. Or like if I listen to it outside of that, it brings me back to like spooky vibes and fall and all that good stuff.
And I love how she gets all like snooty, the Lana Del Rey version.
Well, I love how she's always like, yeah. The newer versions are always better. Like,
oh my God.
The Parent Trap, don't bring that old stuff in here. It's yeah. Gotta be
don't
Lindsay
even
Lohan.
Go.
Yeah. And we gotta have Lana Del Rey's version. If it ain't you know, new, it's broke.
Like, usually on the side that the original is always better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, when it comes to Lana Del Rey and child actress Lindsay Lohan when she was a kid,
yeah.
They will always come first. So.
That's fair.
And yeah.
So which dance move would you do to this one?
So, I don't know. I feel like because it's so, like, whimsical sounding, I would have to do... like a really fancy interpretive dance with a lot of like swaying motions with my arms. If like you guys can visualize that, I don't know like any proper name for the move, but like a lot of twirling, like I'm a spooky witch or something.
I can see that. I feel like that fits really well with the song for sure.
But not wacky waving and inflatable tube man.
Yeah, not that.
Not that.
No, yeah. It needs to like flow really nice.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I couldn't imagine where you would go with that, but it works really well.
She's got classical songs and an interpretive dance.
That's good stuff.
But
yeah.
Not on the same thing.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, sweet.
I just have to say it was really hard to just narrowing it down to three songs because there's like so many great ones. Yeah, just have to add that in there.
No, that's fair. There are a lot of good spooky season songs. If you guys hear a dog in the background, it's because there's a dog in the background.
What? That's not, we didn't put that in post?
I mean, I wanted to. That's the werewolf vibe coming through the whole podcast. Okay, Chris, what's your top three? Thank you, Amy, by the way, for sharing that with us. Those are really good picks. I love your top three for sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
Of course. See the little twang came out?
Bye. Thanks.
All right, Chris, go for
Thanks.
It.
Thanks.
So, yeah, it was kind of hard to go through and pick out ones because I didn't want to do, like, all the traditional ones that everybody knows. But then, mm-hmm. You know, they're Halloween songs because they get played at Halloween. So in no particular order, the first one I'm going to talk about is a classic, Michael Jackson's Thriller. I mean, I think we all know that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. Yes.
So my first memory of that is probably listening to it on the radio and just kind of catching it. I honestly will tell you I probably caught the tail end of Thriller more than I have any other part of the song. I am not a huge Michael Jackson fan. I know everybody's going to be throwing tomatoes at me and stuff. Ah.
No talent.
Yeah. And it's actually hilarious because like I picked this song as one of my favorite Spooky Season songs, not because of Michael Jackson, mostly.
Oh, it's, like, because of Vincent Price?
Literally, yeah, because Vincent Price and the ending. But yeah, I really like Vincent Price, and so like he's got that distinctive, creepy voice. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Everything. And then, like I said, I liked Edgar Allan Poe's poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So putting those two, I mean, I don't think Thriller is Edgar Allan Poe, but it's got that same vibe to it.
Yeah.
And so having his voice doing something in that creepy vibe, and mm-hmm. it's just like the hounds of hell, you know, yeah, it's sure. just like so amazing. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not a huge Michael Jackson fan, like I would catch this mostly on the radio. And so, like I said, I'd normally catch the end of it. And then mm-hmm. I finally started listening to the whole thing. And I'm like, okay, I really like this. And the music video is classic, iconic.
Yeah.
Sure. Michael Jackson's red jacket and everything. So, again, started really liking it, not because of Michael Jackson, but it grew on me, that part.
Yeah.
So my question is, if I had to cosplay or dress in a costume as
one of these in the
song, it's like, which one? Well, I don't know, because I'm like, my gut instinct is like, dress up like Vincent Price. But then at the same time, it's like, Michael Jackson's character is like,
yeah,
really amazing.
He pretty much like wrote it down on a piece of paper and handed it to you, like, here you go, Chris. This is your costume.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on.
And we're just conceptually being these people. Yes, you're not actually going to be Michael Jackson.
Conceptually, then I would be Michael Jackson's character then.
Yeah, nice.
Because he's got great
as the zombie.
Yeah, as a zombie. Yeah, doing the, you know, the...
That's a good choice for costume. Though.
Yeah, but Vincent Price is a very close second in that one.
Okay.
So
yeah, yeah.
And then a second one, and it's hilarious because Claudius is like, ooh, Chris is pulling stuff from the 90s and hip hop.
I was impressed, man. I'm excited.
Is Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and The Fresh Prince, aka Will Smith.
No, just The Fresh Prince.
No.
It was yeah. a different time.
It was honestly, it was a different time, and he was a different person at that point.
To tell about this guy, you all know me, has me scared as hell. He comes to me a night after I call into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day, and even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's home when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street.
But I would say that one, and ironically, like, I didn't even hear that song because it really hasn't been popular lately, but I haven't heard that. I heard that song for the first time when I bought the Will Smith Greatest Hits.
Okay, cool.
So I liked Will Smith's current, you know, the early 2000s before he started getting like really big and started doing movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked some of his stuff, and then I went back and I was like, okay, I'm going to listen. And I listened to like his Greatest Hits, which had stuff all the way back when he first started rolling through. And I heard that one, I was like, this is actually pretty funny, because I'm not a horror movie person at all. Like,
yeah,
I will watch it if I'm going with somebody else, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, yeah, I'm going to go watch the newest horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street, never seen Friday the 13th, never seen any like those classic horror movies.
You
like,
got to at least watch them once. Yeah. They're not that. They're pretty campy, though.
I know. I know they're campy now. It's just, it was never something that I didn't grow up watching it. So
man.
Now it would be like very campy and like laughing at stuff.
Kind of childhood did you have?
I watched other stuff. I watched sci-fi and fantasy. Like, sorry, we are two different people.
Literally,
we are on two different wavelengths.
Yeah,
for sure. to quote Peter Griffin. What was I gonna say? That? Oh, but yeah. So I listened to this one. And I thought it was like really funny because it's a parody, and it's did a little bit more research. Like, it's hilarious because like for the longest time there's a music video, but it went decades without anybody seeing it. Because
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, but it just recently started becoming popular again, like 2018.
That's crazy.
And the reason for that is, apparently, Jazzy Jeff had a copy and Will Smith's dad had a copy and both of them lost copies of it.
Oh, really?
But it somehow got online. But they actually got sued by the production company for the movie.
Oh,
because got it. And it really wasn't. It was hilarious because they got sued because theirs came out at the same time as another group that was actually officially on the soundtrack and everything.
Okay,
both of them came out and like radio stations would be like hosting like which Freddie song is the best, and they would start winning the competition.
Oh, whoa.
And they were like hands down like blowing the other one. Because
it's
the
better song, probably.
It
wow.
is.
I mean. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So for a long time, it got to a point where they couldn't even show the video or anything like that. But they eventually worked it out. I think they wound up having to pay the production company some money or whatever. But the production company then came back and was like, yeah. We're gonna, because they kept saying, "What, you know, just throw it on the soundtrack too, and like, you know, just use it to promote the movie too." And they were like, "No, you're, you know, whatever."
That's crazy.
So then, like, they gave them the option to be like, do cameos in the next movie, and they turned it down.
Yeah,
but I'm just like hilariously laughing. I'm like, this is definitely way more well known. And so I watched it the other night or last night to kind of refresh on it. And if I had to cosplay one from that song, I would definitely do the Freddy Krueger character. Just because, you know, he's the bad guy.
You wouldn't do Will Smith or Jesse?
You know what? Honestly, no, because I don't, like, it's hilarious because, like, in the story, in the song, the story is that they come back from, like, a concert and then they get all their friends together and they go see Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Freddy starts, you know, harassing Will Smith at night and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, just laughing because I'm, like, he's talking about, like,
yeah,
he thinks, you know, he realizes all a dream, and he's like, "Yeah, talking about like Freddy, ain't nobody gonna get with you with your face all burned up and all that." And he like, funny. And though eventually, like, you know, Freddy like slashes at him and like cuts his chest or whatever. He's like, "Oh, crap, this is real."
Yeah.
Then he gets saved because he wakes up in the middle of the night. But it's a funny story.
And the sample of the way they remade the theme song is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds creepy. Like, you, if you don't know that song and you heard that, that's a creepy vibe. Mm-hmm. For, you know, so yeah, I love that, by the way.
And then my third one is not a Halloween at all, but it is like that spooky
gasp.
I know, it's spooky. It's Midnight in Montgomery by Alan Jackson from 1992.
Midnight in Montgomery, Silver Eagle, lonely road. I was on my way to Mobile for a big New Year's Eve show. I stopped for just a minute, see a friend outside of town. With my collar up, I found his name, felt the wind die down. And a drunk man in a cowboy hat took me by surprise, wearing shiny boots, a nudie suit, and haunted eyes. He said, "Friend, it's good to see you. It's nice to know you care." Then the wind picked up, he was gone. Was he ever really there? 'Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill.
My first memory of that was just listening to it on the radio as a kid. It's about a singer who is going to a big show on New Year's Eve in Mobile, Alabama, and he stops in Montgomery to visit a grave, and it's actually the grave of Hank Williams, Sr.
Who is died. It really?
It is. Like, not in the music, and like in the music video, it's like, I don't think it's really his grave, but that's like who he's going to, that's the friend he's going to see.
Damn.
And so, and it's funny because it's like all, I mean, not funny, but it's like,
that's funny,
tied with, it's like tied with all sorts of like stuff revolving. And you get those little hints
that's
of
awesome.
Hank Williams and his history.
Yeah.
Because like Hank Williams died on New Year's Day in 1953, and the guy's going to do a New Year's Eve show. So it's like the night before the anniversary of his death.
Yeah.
And so it's just like him paying tribute to the guy, and he goes and like, you know, he finds the grave, and then he all of a sudden like this guy shows up, and he's wearing an old cowboy hat, and
yeah,
apparently something called a nudie suit, What which is was that? It was like a type of suit, apparently.
Kind of like the hoochie.
So, no, not quite like that. He's like, it's like Armani, but a nudie.
Okay.
No, just kidding. So, and the guy's like shows up and he's like, oh, it's, you know, it's great to see you. I'm glad you stopped by. And then like he fades away.
Oh, man.
So it's like a really nice, creepy ghost story. Just the sound of the whole thing is very like somber and like kind of creepy.
Yeah, for sure.
Not, it's country, but like the 90s country, but like not, it's not upbeat and like twangy and like, you know, right. So it's like really nice and somber and like the lyrics are really cool. And it's actually funny because they had to shoot that, the music video twice.
Oh, really?
Because the first time they shot it, there was a dark shadow.
Whoa,
in the film.
That's cool.
And no so, way.
Yeah, so they had to reshoot it.
Dang.
So it's like, dang, maybe he was like, yeah, I want to be in this.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, so that one's mine. And then, you know, there's not a lot of characters for the cosplay on that one. But yeah. Obviously, I'd be the Hank Williams ghost.
Yeah,
if
for
I was
sure.
to cosplay that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
And that's a one that I can listen to all year round. And it just gives you that really spooky vibe.
All right. So this is the part where I kick it to our friend Danielle, who was awesome and sent us her top three spooky tunes.
Hi, my name is Danielle from Oakland, California. My top three Halloween songs that I love to listen to, I'm about to show my age, is Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. You know, I ain't afraid of no ghosts, even though I was afraid of that movie. I am the most scariest person. So I'm not really a Halloween person, but when I hear that song, that gets me like ready for Halloween. Number two, of course, Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell featuring Michael Jackson. I used to love, well, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. So anything Michael Jackson basically in the 80s, that was me. And this song, I always loved it. Only because of the chorus though. Crazy. My number one, of course, everybody's number one. If you do not have this in your top three, I don't know what is wrong with you, but Michael Jackson, Thriller, that has to be in everybody's top three.
Thanks, Danielle. I like all of those, actually. So, awesome job. I guess we should probably start wrapping this one up. If you guys don't have anything else to add.
Just that I love Halloween and happy Halloween.
It reminds me of when an interviewer asked, like, a little kid, anything you want to add? I like turtles.
Yeah.
I like turtles.
I like pumpkins. Pumpkins.
I like pumpkin.
Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to our top three spooky season picks. I hope you guys either discovered some new music or you get to revisit some songs that you already love. On our next episode, we'll be talking about Anime Weekend Atlanta, so be sure to tune in for that if you're an anime fan. I think it'll be a fun con and we'll be here to tell you all about it. And shout out to Amy for making it again. Thank you guys for tuning in and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Epic Briefs Media podcast is an Epic Briefs Media production. Tune in, follow, and subscribe on audioboom.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all popular podcast apps. See what we're up to on Insta at Epic Briefs Media, and feel free to reach out for a shout out, questions, comments at epicbriefsmedia@gmail.com. Thank you for your listens and time. Be sure to tune in for something epic.